We're doing Mishlei. We're up to what's called the 13th chapter. We'll quickly go through it because we really learned a lot of it last year and last semester. So, I guess we'll start with Pasuk Yud and run forward because we elaborated on these Pasukim a lot. Pasuk Yud. Rak bezadon yiten matzah. A person who is rak bezadon, he only does things out of wickedness, so then yitem matzah, then he is the cause for many fights. When people always have a cause, they're always fighting, so then they actually cause fights all around them. And the et no'atzin, and the people who think things through before they act, those are the people where you will find chokhmah, you will find wisdom. So very often when you see a fight, pull back and look. And if you notice there's a person who's often fighting for different causes, then take a step back and realize, wait, there's a reason. Because there are people whose whole attitude to life is always bizadon. Everything, in your face. If that's the attitude, so then they're often involved in fights. And when a person is not seen, when he thinks things through, so then he's often not involved in fights, and that's because he has the chokhmah. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Hon mehevel yimat. Hon, you could have a tremendous amount of wealth. Mehevel yimat. So here there are multiple interpretations to the pasuk. One interpretation is that a person's wealth can go in a flash. Hon, a wealth, mehevel yimat. In a flash, over nothing, a person can lose all his wealth. Another interpretation is hon mehevel. A person whose wealth came from nothing, not from hard work, but he cheated people, he stole, he found ways to outsmart people and get his money illegally. Hon mehevel, wealth that came from nothing, not from hard work. Yim'at, so then that's wealth that won't last, it'll diminish over time. V'kovetz al yad, but a person who works and has savings and then invests and slowly but surely he builds himself, then yarbeh, that's a person who will constantly get more and more, he'll move forward in life. Tochelet, now this is true about learning also. Our sages say this about learning also. People who learn and stop and learn and stop and learn and stop have a hard time building up. But if they can have consistency, even on a small amount, but consistency, they can accomplish a lot. We had, in our neighborhood, we had last week a massive siyum. The man brought out a band, guest lecturers. He made this huge siyum. What was this siyum all about? So he told me. He said he never learned Talmud. He was always scared of learning Talmud. So he never learned Talmud. He'd learn Musar, he'd learn Tanakh, he'd learn Parsha, never Talmud. Then one time he was at a speech across the street from the Shuk. The rabbi over there got up and said, "What are you, a walking garbage pail?" He was talking to the crowd. He said, "Can't you learn one line of Talmud a day? One line? You can't learn one line a day?" And he yelled this like five times, "One line of Talmud a day. You have to be a walking garbage can. You just ingest and excrete. That's all life is all about. One line of Talmud a day." So this rabbi is yelling fire and brimstone, and he walks away, and for days all he can think about is one line a day. Can't I do one line a day? He's ringing in his head. So he went and bought an art scroll Gemara, and he said, "One line a day, the rabbi's right, I can do one line a day." And now, I don't know how many years later, he finished his first tractate in Chas. So he invited that rabbi and other people, and he made this huge scene to celebrate. He says, for years, he felt he couldn't touch Talmud. And here, he was finishing his first tractate. So, back to here. So that's Kovetz Aliyah, the person who takes even a little bit at a time. But eventually, Yerbeh will get a tremendous amount. Pasuk Yud Beit. Tochelet memushacha machala lev. When a person waits for something a long time and it keeps getting pushed off again and again. Tochelet memushacha, a prolonged wait. Machala lev, it causes him tremendous heartache. It's not good for people that way. But ve'etz chayim ta'ava va'ah. But when a person finally attains it, so it's like he's attained the tree of life. And suddenly everything's cured. He's made it, so to speak. So sometimes in life we have things that we wait for, and it's very hard that way. A person's in shiduchim, they don't know when they'll find it. A person wants to have kids, they don't know when they'll get there. We all have our hopes. We all enter the year thinking, I hope by the end of this year, I will have accomplished A or B or C, each person in their dreams. And when those hopes take a long time, so then it's machala lev. Person feels like he's ill with heartache. But he should also know that Eitz Chaim, at the end, there is that golden pot at the end of the rainbow. There is that tree of life when ta'ava va'a, when a person will finally attain it. Baz, obviously we're talking about goals that are good goals. You know, Marilyn Monroe committed suicide and left a letter saying, I've realized I'm never going to be happy, right? Because, you know, if she's reached the top of a materialistic goal, and then she says, hey, this is all there is up here, I'm at the top. That's why the suicide rate for Hollywood stars is so high. Because people keep thinking that's the life. And they're there. They're living the life. And they say, no, it isn't. If this is what everyone's dreaming about, it's not worth it. And then where is happiness to be found? If I'm at where happiness should be found and I'm not happy, then it's nowhere. So again, the Pasuk is talking about worthwhile goals. Baz ledaval yechave lo. When a person scorns something, ultimately that thing will cause him to fall, to be wounded. Very often we ignore things and we think, why is that important? Yeah, you'll find out why that's important. I was telling myself, I don't have to check my mail. I don't have to check my mail. I don't have to check my mail. It's a hassle to go and check the mail, right? I go and check the mail, I see a bunch of warnings. It seems that when we moved, there was a certain account we didn't take care of. Not so important, just the life insurance policy. You know, finally they found my address, and I don't know why, for 4 months, nothing has been paid. You know, we warned you repeatedly, and you have 21 days, and I look at the calendar, and I got 2 days to call them. In 21 days, your policy will be...
Why don't you set up for our kiddos?
It was. I don't know why the move set things off balance. I don't know why. And I didn't know about it. And I kept telling myself, hey, you know, Yom Tov, you don't want to check your mail. And after Yom Tov, you're in a rush catching up from the Yom Tov break. And I kept pushing off, checking my mail, okay? So, baz le davar, when we scorn something, when we mock something, yechav elo, then we get wounded by it. Things should sometimes be taken seriously. Virei mitzvah hu yeshulam. When a person has respect, here he's talking about a mitzvah, it will pay off. I told you guys the story of the police. No, you're a new crowd here this year. I once got a phone call from the police. My passport was stolen. So I reported it. About a year or two later, I get a phone call from the police. We found your passport. Please come down and pick it up. So I said, you know, by now I got a new passport. I don't really need that passport. They said, no, we want you to come down and pick it up. Could you come down today? So I said, no. You know, I'm in the middle of doing things. I can't just stop my life and come down. So they said, when can you come down? I said, tomorrow. They said, fine. Okay. The next day comes, and I still have a full schedule. I didn't want to go. So I'm standing there thinking, do I go, don't I go, do I go, don't I go? I said, you know, I told them I'll come today. I should really come, but I don't need that passport. But I said I would come. Okay, so I went. I come to the station. After waiting my turn, you know, it doesn't go that simply. They call me in, and they lock the door behind me, and they bring this big guy to sit in the table. And I see I'm sitting in a room, you know, like in the movies. You guys know there's a mirror next to me. And they say, we're on to you. So I'm looking at that, like, what? They say, we know what you've been doing. And now if you'll cooperate, then you're going to have an easier sentence. So I look at them and I say, you know, I just came to pick up my passport. I don't know. I think they say, we know why you came. Turns out that the person who stole my passport was part of a ring that was involved in identity theft. And they wanted to check if I was in on it, if I was part of it. Maybe my passport was being used because I agreed. So they're interrogating me there, and I left, you know. I had nothing to hide. But imagine had I not shown up, right? Imagine had I not come. Then I would have had a lot of explaining to do. Baz ledava, when we mock something and it seems like, it's inconsequential. What difference? So I told the police I'm going to come today. Do they really care if it's today or tomorrow or the next day? What's the difference? Yechavelo, it could really hurt a person. So thank God I went. But sometimes we have to remember not to mock things. But Pasuk Yud Dalit. Torat Chacham Mekor Chayim. The Torah of someone smart is a source of life. It keeps him from stumbling on things that would cause death. A person can learn Torah and not be smart, and then the Torah won't necessarily help him. If a person's smart, so then the Torah teaches him how to lead life in an intelligent way. Sechel tov yiten chein. When a person has intelligence, so then he has charm in the eyes of people. People enjoy a person who's smart. When his wisdom is tov, when he uses it for good. Vederch bogedim eitan. And a person has to know that the path of those that are traitors is nonetheless very forceful. We like to think, if I'm very smart and people like me, I have charm, so then things will go my way. And Shlomo HaMelech warns a person, no, people turn on us and we're not prepared for it. And as kind as a person is, as good as a person is, as smart as a person is, as much as a person feels like yiten chein, people like him, he has to be aware that derech bogedim, the path of those that are traitors, that turn on us, that take advantage of us, is eitan. It's forceful, it's potent. Kol arum yaaseh v'daat. When a person has cunning, so then everything he's doing is planned. And other people don't understand. He says, you know, you could have charm, you could be smart, but you should know that when people have cunning, then their actions are not as innocent as they're perceived. Uchsil yifros ivelet. And the fool spreads out his foolishness. Meaning the fool doesn't even have the intelligence to hide his foolishness. When a person's smart, so then even the things that seem simple are really well thought out. Malach rasha yipol bera. When a person is a messenger, but he is wicked in doing his task. He's sent to do one thing and he does it differently. And he does it out of the evil of his heart. He does it differently. Shlomo HaMelech tells him, Yipol bira. He should know that ultimately he himself will fall in evil. Vitzir emunim marpe. When a person is trusted and then they live up to what they should do, so then he will find a way to be a part of the cure. And that's the difference between sending something with someone smart or not. When you have someone who's on your side, they'll find a way to resolve it. They'll know what to say and what not to say. Very often the wisdom is in not saying. And there are innocent things that we say that we don't realize. I was giving shiur one day, and someone mentioned, as we were giving shiur, someone mentioned, you know, I just met your relative at the supermarket. And I said, fine. And as I'm giving shiur, a million thoughts are going through my mind. That relative told me they're going to shiur. That relative told me a whole bunch of things, a whole story. Now, there's no way they could be at that supermarket when they said they're going to be there. So he just mentioned something in passing. You know, he went out in the middle of the shiur, he went to buy something for the class, he went to buy Ragalach, and he happened to meet that relative of mine there. And I'm thinking, we made a deal, and I told him I'd cover for him so he could go to that shiur, and he's not at that shiur. Okay, so he just mentioned something, and I, you know, he didn't realize how many ramifications what he just mentioned had. Part of wisdom is knowing what not to say. We have to think things that seem innocent to us, but we have to ask ourselves, are they necessary? Pasuk Yudchet. Resh vekalon, porea musar, resh. Resh comes from the word poverty. Resh v'kalon, poverty and shame, is what's destined for a person who is porea musar, who undoes the basic ethics of society. People sometimes think that if they do what they want, so they're going to win in the end. Who cares? I can do what I want. It doesn't work that way. In life, when a person undoes ethics, so they should know that it comes back to haunt them. Vishomer tochachat yechubad. But when a person thinks about it and he tries to do what's right, and when someone tells him, you know what you did was wrong, he thinks about it, ultimately he will be respected. You have the people who are willing to trample over things, the norms of society. It boggles my mind when people will throw a wrapper on the floor in front of you. You could be on the train, you could be on the bus, and there are people who aren't embarrassed. You have those people who are embarrassed, and they turn around like they don't see what's happening as they drop it. And then you have the people who aren't even embarrassed. That's Poreh Musar. That's a person that's going against the basic ethic of society. He's littering openly. And ultimately, it comes back to haunt a person. Sometimes.
Time for questions? Or
do we yeah, you can ask. Go ahead.
You know this isn't true, like in real life.
Why?
You know that there are evil people who do things and they get away with it, at least in this world, right?
You think so?
Yeah.
Because I think that most of the time it comes back to haunt them.
No,
I don't know. I
because there's a kid there, they don't pass it, but and when the kid is not there, they pass it.
I could tell you so many stories. That's a good fit.
I mean, I know that this is like a much larger discussion.
I think what Shlomo's talking about, we see all the time. I had a friend, and we were three of us. Meaning, I had a few times, we weren't really three, but me and another friend had a mutual friend. This friend got married and had difficult issues with his wife. He got up and walked away, flew out of the country. And we chased after him to get a get for his wife. You know, if he's leaving, he should at least leave her a get. It wasn't so simple. We had to fly out of Bezdin. He was in a place like no man's land. We had to fly out a rabbi and two witnesses and get everything set up for him to set up this divorce. You know, the guy just walked away. We had an argument between us, me and this friend, how we should treat this third guy who walked away from his wife. He walked away from life's responsibilities, you know, and he just... So I said, it's not our job to judge him. You know, I maintained contact with him. I called him almost on a daily basis because I felt like he's in a place where there's no Judaism. What's going to be with him? And I said, it's not my job to judge his behavior. And my other friend said, he's the scum of the earth. I'm not willing to talk to him again. A guy who walks away from his responsibilities and behaves that way, I regret I ever knew him. So we diverged on how we were supposed to deal with this friend. And I always wondered whether he was right or I was right. Because what this man did was unethical. I'm not even talking about from a religious perspective. It's just unethical. You know, leave, close your responsibilities. He didn't chip in flying out the court. He didn't chip in the basic expenses of divorcing his wife, you know. Okay. A few months pass. Months turn into years. And during this time, the guy continues leading what you might call the good life. He's posting on Facebook pictures of him in bars, and you already see him with women. Obviously, we reached a point where he stopped learning with me, right? I'd call him every morning. I reached a point where he said, Rabbi, leave it. We'll talk every so often. And I tried sending him stuff, inviting him back. The day comes, and I get a phone call, and he's dead. Not clear whether what he was dead from, as far as I understand, from an overdose. Now, when I looked at that story, you know, I said to myself, maybe my friend was right. Maybe this other guy was right. Maybe when a person is Poreh Musar, when a person goes and he destroys all form of ethics, and it went worse than that, because the guy's a Jew. He deserves a burial. We believe in the resurrection of the dead. So this guy who turned his back on everything... he once said to his family, you know, it's very expensive to fly me out to a Jewish burial, so you could burn my body and send it for Jewish burial, so at least they'll burn the ashes somewhere Jewish or something. And he said it, I think, half jokingly, but his family didn't take it that way, so they burnt his body. And then they called us up and said, you know, we should at least put in a Jewish burial cemetery. Well, here in Israel, we don't bury a person who left instructions to be cremated, we don't bury him in a Jewish cemetery. So he was buried in a non-Jewish cemetery. So he didn't, you know, till the end. He did himself until the end. And I felt very bad, because I felt bad. The guy, you know, we make mistakes in life. And when a person starts going down the wrong path, it's not always easy to stop. So I always tried to judge him favorably. Maybe because I liked him so much. You know, maybe I'm too biased. But I still, in hindsight, I always questioned, was I right in being so nice to him? Maybe there comes a point when a person is poreh musar, like Shlomo Amel says, when a person goes against basic ethics, so then maybe he's getting what's coming to him. When reish and kalon, when he's pursued, he could never get his act together financially, he could never do anything respectable, and he ended up dying in a shameful way where no one even talks about how he died. I'm not even sure how he died. Couldn't get any straight answers from the family, and I wasn't about to ask too many questions. I don't know. And I gave you one story, but I could give you many stories, unfortunately. I've seen this to be repeatedly true.
Where it's sort of the case. I mean, wouldn't it go against the... I mean, we have basic beliefs of freedom of choice, right? And people always explain that, you know, if things were so clear...
That's tzaddik v'ra lo rasha v'tovlo. We're not talking about rasha here. We're talking about a different level. There's wicked people. That's one thing. Then there are people who go against basic ethics. And there I think we see repeatedly. You know, an employer told me that they were counting on a certain employee and they kept promoting him and they gave him more and more responsibilities. And one day he comes to the employee and he says, you know, we're giving you a lot of responsibilities. I want to know, are you happy here? Is the salary enough for you? Because we're counting on you. And they consulted with this employee before they fired another employee, and he told them to go ahead, that he's going to cover for that other employee. And everything's going great. And a week later, he comes in and says, look, I got a better offer, I'm leaving. He gives them 3 weeks' notice. So the employer looks at him and he tells him, I want you to know, I've never in my life told someone he's the scum of the earth, but I want to tell you that you are the scum of the earth. I've never had someone do to me what you just did to me. That I promoted you, and I asked you last week, what do you want? Are things good for you? And you said everything's great. And you knew I was firing someone because I'm counting on you. And you told me to fire that person, and you said you'll cover it. And now you notify me you're leaving? So I just want you to know, I never had someone do this to me like what you just did, right? So the guy tells me this story. And I said to him, but you should know, the end of the story is not over yet. This employee will pay for what he did, not at your hands, and I'm not involving God in the picture. I'm saying the nature of life, when a person is poreya musar, when they go against basic ethics, it comes back to haunt them. Le Miserable, what's the whole book? The whole book, it's a big fat book. It keeps telling you the same theme. It's not a Jewish theme, it's life's theme. I'm not talking about whether a person's a tzaddik or a rasha. But I'm saying there comes a point when a person says, it's all about me and I could trample everyone else. I have seen repeatedly in my life that those people bite the dust. Life comes back to haunt them. It's the same story as Ayn Rand. Ayn Rand went and cheated with a guy, right? And then she married him because she says it's survival of the fittest. It's all evolution. If you can do it, do it. So great, so she stole someone else's husband. Yeah, you know the story. Okay, she wrote fantastic books about how society tries to hold a person down from succeeding because we're not the fittest, and the fittest really should keep moving forward and not care who he's trampling on. That's basically her philosophy of life. Well, how does the story end? So one day her husband finds someone more beautiful than her and goes off with her. Why not? She took him from the fittest, so now the fittest is not her anymore, right?
So you think that Shlomo Melech was referring to even this world?
Yes. Yes, completely. Completely. I think in this world, people who behave in ways that are self-centered, egocentric, and trample other people, I have seen repeatedly that at the end of the day, it comes back to haunt them. And when they fall hard. I see it all the time. Again, this doesn't necessarily happen in a day, it doesn't necessarily happen in a year. But over time, it comes back to haunt them.
Interesting.
I see it all the time. Completely. I could tell you many stories. Look, I got a phone call this week. We had a student that left the Machon, and we did everything in the world to help him. And he spat in our face to the point where he sent us pictures of himself with the Palestinian flag, and he said to us, I'm waiting for them to take over. And I always said, the poor guy, something's wrong with him. But I'm telling you that the day will come that he will come back to our door and ask for our help. And that day came this week. I said, you know, you can't do it. Right now he thinks he has the footing that he could spit on us. I got pictures of him with Palestinians and a Palestinian flag, and he's smiling and waving at me. And he's telling me, you know, I'm waiting. They're
going to anger?
He wanted to say, you know, that's who should run the state. Okay.
But look at him, if he doesn't come back to the issue of the other guys.
Yeah. I'm saying, you know, a person can say a lot of things. I'd have no issue if a student leaves us and says, I want to go a different route. But why spit in our face? What did we do to him? All we did was try to help him. His whole time that he was here, we tried to help him. Okay, we didn't succeed. Granted, it wasn't our fault. I don't think it was our fault at all, but it doesn't matter. But why spit in our... Oh, you want to trample on us and you want to put us in the dirt, and he'd come here and propagate his things. He'd wait at night till no rabbi was around, then he'd come and preach. I said, wait, time will come. His day will come. Life doesn't work that way. And again, I'm not saying from a religious perspective. Shlomo HaMelech is discussing this, but I'm saying it's in this world. Yes, completely in this world. I think so completely. It's what goes around comes around. And when a person tramples others, they get trampled in the end. And when they get trampled, they got no one to turn to. And that's a recurring theme. People think they can get away with it. People think they can cheat this one and the next one and the next one. There comes a point where everyone knows that's the cheater. And then they're going to have a hard time turning to anyone. When life is about taking advantage of everyone else, so then there comes a time where everyone turns around and says, Adkan. Look, I'll give you an example that we encounter all the time. There are children who do this to their parents repeatedly. There are children who will go on drugs and will go into gangs and go into cults, and they're always waiting for their parents to come and save them. Or they'll go into debt, or they'll go into gambling, and they're just about taking advantage of everyone they know, taking loans from everyone they know. But then the day comes where everyone knows where they're at, and they've used up all the favors. And then things hit hard. That's just an example. Yeah?
And not to be too utopic or too, like, you know, it's almost like the punishment itself is not being close to Hashem. It's already, that's bad enough. Like, I mean, okay, you can have money, you can have everything, but I don't know, just to imagine, it's already too bad. You know, I don't know.
I don't think people know that. Meaning, when a person is far from Hashem, they feel a gaping hole in their soul, but they're not sure how to fill it. So they avoid it. And they look for distractions. A person doesn't say, if I walk into shul and talk to their Ribono Shel Olam, I'm going to feel better. A person says, let me take a beer. Let me go to this Luna Park. Let me try to cover it up, because facing Hashem, there's a reason why it's called tefillah, certain clarity. I have to be able to stand before my Creator, who knows me without all the icing on the cake. He knows my weaknesses. He knows what I've done wrong. Huh? There's a clarity that has to be there, which we're very scared of. One of the scariest things you could do to someone in this generation is lock him in the room, tell him, I'm going to let you out in an hour. But I want you to think about life and take away his cell phone, take away his communication from the world. Now, what am I supposed to do in here? Hello? Try being with yourself. Try being with your Creator. That's too scary. Maybe I'll go to sleep. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom. Kol hakavod. Pasuk yutet. Tavaniyam, terav lenafesh, V'to'avat kesilim sur mira. A person's soul finds it pleasant when they overcome a ta'ava. Ta'ava nihiya, the word nihiya, could also mean to break. When you break, when you conquer a desire, so that's pleasant for the soul. I don't know if you guys ever had this, things that you were stuck to. Oh, everyone has it, right? It's the internet, it's the cell phone, but it's also things like coffee, an energy drink. There are things that we get clung to. You gotta have your coffee in the morning. And what happens if not? You know, I got into this bad habit. I'd reach a point where I was worried about Yom Kippur, just my not having a cup of coffee in the morning, not anything else. Everything else I could handle about Yom Kippur, but not a cup of coffee in the morning, that was hard. That's what? That's a common one, but it's wrong.
Nihya means to break.
And sometimes, yeah, yeah.
And what else?
And to be.
And to be, yeah.
Yeah, it's, many words in Hebrew have both meanings, the thing and its opposite. Lesharesh means to take root and to uproot.
Right.
Yeah, so nihya, hava, hove,
right,
means existent and also broken. Ta'ava nihya,
right,
when a desire is broken, when a person can overcome a desire, te'rav lenafich, it's pleasant for the soul. Even the non-Jewish world today says that you want to feel success in life, conquer your desires. It's known as the Tanis of the Rush, I think, where the Rush says, you have food on your plate and say, I'm not eating that because that's my famine today. That's my fast today. I'm going to... my tzom is that when I have a plate, I'm not going to eat something on that plate. I'll save it for the next meal. I had a very interesting thing this week. I bought one of those cakes. You know, they sell you these small cakes for 4.5 shekel. So that was breakfast. I finished eating half it, and I wanted to get back to Seder. So I wrapped up the other half. And as I was wrapping it, I said to myself, wait a second, I'm full. I didn't need to eat that other half. And it shocked me, because if I wasn't in a rush, I would have eaten the full thing. You bought a full cake, you eat a full cake, right? But why? You don't need the full cake. I was perfectly satisfied with half. I said to myself, never, huh? Ah, yeah, right. What is the word?
Haskafia.
Tough. I don't know the word.
Haskafia is when you like switch something, and haskafia is when you stay away from it.
Okay, yefe.
Haskafia.
But there's tremendous satisfaction.
It's not Aramaic. Right,
it not. Could be, but I'm not sure which word you're saying.
Okay.
Could you spell it? I'm just saying that satisfaction. You know, modern psychologists say the same thing. We feel satisfaction when we feel control. And control is about self-control. V'to'avat kesilim sur mira. And the fool thinks the worst thing is when I have to stay away from what's bad. But I want it. So? But I want it. You ever hear kids talk? So we're a generation where we're all kids. How many people are buying this new iPhone? They have to stay up at night to be the first one to buy it. Why? Tough. I don't know what it means. Holechet chachamim yechkam. When a person is with wise, he becomes wise. V'roech esilim yeroa. And when a person connects himself to fools, so then it'll be his breaking as well. At the end of the day, we are defined by the community we're with. And we have to think about that. We have to choose our friends wisely. We have to choose our community wisely. It affects us. Chataim tiradef ra'ah. When people do transgressions, so then the evil that comes out of it pursues them. Pursues them, here it means in the world to come. Here we're talking about a spiritual level. Ve'tzadikihim yishalem tov. And the merits of the righteous pays off good in their life. Tov yanchil b'nei vanim. When a person's a good person, he leaves his good name, his reputation, his connections to people for generations. Vitzafun latzadik chel chote. And a sinner should know that all the wealth that he's amassing is really being saved to give over to the tzaddik. He will not give it over to his children and grandchildren. And unfortunately, we see another application of that today. When people are very, very, very stingy and very, very, very dishonest, and they amass a wealth, so what usually happens when they die? Their kids are suing one another and they spend life in court back and forth and back and forth. Yeah, that's what you taught your kids. You taught them that it's all about money and getting it, if not this way, then that way. So that's what they're going to do too. People spend so much money on lawyers. Sometimes it eats up as much as they would have gained if they win. It's to pay the lawyers. So there's a lot here. Shlomo Malach has a lot to say. We have a lot to learn, but you guys look like you need